new media, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro.
Right over there, sat on the stairs, stay, leave. The cabinets are bare.
Joss, feel free to show us your dance moves. Or sing.
Makes me feel like I'm back in Mexico, guys. Welcome back to the Tomorrow Show. I'm not Kevin Undergaro again. I have to check every time. Like, have I grown a penis yet?
Nope.
Still not Kevin. Couldn't be if I tried. I am Roxy Stryer. And sitting in the seat that I usually sit in over at the bar is Morgan Willett.
Thank
Hello,
you. Thank
Morgan.
You. The accent, it's great.
I'm telling you, it's
we're gonna have this argument.
Morgan.
Kevin, we have to have an argument.
Not Morgan. He's from New York all of a sudden.
Well, I'm from Texas, so I literally don't know, but it's great to be here.
Going into the booth. Bonjour, Juliet. Hey, Roxy Stryer. How come you don't speak French to me, Jules?
I don't know. Let's get intimate. We can do that if you want.
All right, say something intimate.
Je t'aime.
Je t'aime?
I don't know what
that
means.
That means I like.
Oh, do you speak French?
Knows. I like in general.
Just... I mean, I did GCSEs in French.
You didn't even. Know. She just said, I like? Is that intimate?
I love.
I think it is.
Oh, no, she said, I love.
J'aime. It's weird.
We're saving you for last. They don't even know you're here yet on iTunes.
Okay.
We'll come back to
who
you.
Who is this mystery voice?
Also, Michael Klaus. Hey, Michael. How are you?
Oh, man. It's Thursday, and that makes it a good day. Thursday night, mm-hmm. almost the weekend.
Hey, Michael.
Friday's for the men.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I beat you to it?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, but I didn't even need to do the setup. Friday's for the men. That's what we say on the show. I know we have new people aboard today. Men are people in general. We don't mean men specifically. It's just like, it's your fucking day tomorrow.
Hashtag 2018.
So get so drunk tonight. Do your drugs. Like, you finished the week. You did what you had to do. You are 100% free to drink up. Jenna Bussier in the house. So you do the challenge after show for AfterBuzz TV.
Do.
You have come in as our expert.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for having
today.
Me. I'm excited to talk to Joss. So excited. We've had Devin on this year. We've had Bananas, Leroy. So very excited to get to talk to you about this season of Vendettas now.
Some of my favorite people.
Yes,
and of course, that voice that you heard earlier, Joss Mooney from
Hello.
The challenge in the house, drinking a nice bud. Because you need
classic.
It sometimes.
Little BL.
You know?
I need it. Yeah. So, I'm picking up from last night, so.
Oh, really? Like, why can't we just drink all day, every day?
Who says you can't?
Yeah, we can.
Society. Society tries to tell me that we cannot. And
see,
I disagree.
No, your car. But you're getting rid of your car.
Break the mold.
Yeah,
there you go.
Okay, this is the decision that I have made. I think I'm selling my car to Uber everywhere.
That is a horrible decision.
But it's actually really genius because it will make me happy and probably save me money because I've gotten too many car accidents and my insurance is crazy. And can drink anytime, anywhere.
Like, it will make you an alcoholic.
That'll probably level out the costs, really. So,
I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I think it's going to cost a little bit of money.
But do you Uber
tickets.
Pool?
Because
that's no, that's
no,
a, but
no, you
Uber
can't
pool,
do that. That's creepy.
Yeah, I hate
it's
that.
It's so awkward.
But some people are like, it's so much cheaper.
It's just
it takes
awkward.
You an hour to get anywhere
so
because you have to drop someone else off,
and
pick
they want to talk
up.
To you. And I don't want to talk to anybody.
You
want to
just
Uber.
Be drunk. That's all you want. You just want to talk to your beer.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm curious from you because I feel like today. Being a reality star is so different than it used to be. It used to have this stigma attached, and now we have a reality star as a president of the United States. Do you feel like the possibilities are endless for you?
I mean, I was hoping to do that next. Possibly. I mean, anything is possible
now. I think you have to have been born here. Sorry, my friend. That's the only thing holding you back.
It is true, though. The reality stars, they do get a lot of... You can do anything now. Like, are they important?
Yes.
Are we?
Once president.
Do you feel reality shows? You're one.
I don't feel important at all. No. Like, they can do pretty much what they want. Like, you get big endorsements nowadays that you wouldn't get considered for. So I think the opportunities when you step into the reality world are massive now.
Did you look at that as a door to be open for something else? Were you trying to do something else and you were hoping that this would help you achieve that? Or were you just like, fuck it, I'm just going to do
it? From when I started?
Yeah.
I mean, I worked for myself. I mean, if I think if you've got a proper profession and you're a lawyer or something, if you go into reality TV, it's probably going to put your career in the gutter. But like, I was self-employed, so I was like, I've got nothing to lose here. And it's like a stepping stone. It opens a lot of doors. So
maybe too many sometimes.
Maybe too many.
Because do you feel like everything you do is being watched by everybody and you can't make a move without somebody tweeting or Instagramming or catching it on tape?
I mean, yeah, and especially your love life. Like, that's just plastered everywhere. And the thing is, you're most likely, if you're in the reality world, you're going to hook up with someone else who's in the reality world, which means everyone just sees your shit constantly. So you can't really have, like, a steady relationship.
Why do you say that if you're in the reality world, you're definitely going to hook up with somebody in that world?
It's because you all go to the same parties. It's so incestuous.
I second this.
Really?
She's
so the winner of Big Brother, so she knows what's up.
It's a weird incestual family.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't explain it to anyone, but I'm like, why does everyone just hook up with each other?
Is it because they want publicity from it, honestly?
I think there is a bit of that.
Really?
I think there's that, and it's just the fact that when you think about it, everyone who's cast on reality TV is pretty similar in personality. They're all kind of psycho. No offense. You might be very normal. I think everyone's pretty extroverted.
Are you saying you're a psycho?
I think I might be a little out there, but I think they just get along. So it's like, well, we're on the same show. Went through the same experience. Mm-hmm. You're hot. I'm hot. Let's hook up.
I mean, it makes sense on the show when you're doing it, right? Because you're all in this house together. There's no outside world. And you're on there for months, possibly. So at some point, you're going to hook up with somebody.
Yeah, but all a lot of people from different shows, they all go to the same events. And like, my first show was X on the Beach. Mm-hmm. And like, so like, everyone, that was so incestuous. Like,
on the show or outside at other events, you mean?
Both.
Yeah. Just incest in general. Incest.
Do you want to end up with someone from a reality show or no?
Great question.
No, I don't think so.
If you had to pick one reality star to end up with, who would it be?
I've literally just come out of a relationship with a reality star, so I would.
So you're newly single.
Newly single, yeah. So I'm staying actually away from reality stars, like, for relationship wise. But if I could, I don't know. No, I wouldn't.
I'm talking Kardashians are reality stars. You wouldn't hook up with any reality star ever
hook up
again.
With them, but
like Vanderpump Rules, all the options.
Kendall Kardashian.
Yeah, but yeah, I'd hook up with them. But are you talking about relationship? Because these guys, it's not going to last. Like,
no reality relationships will last ever.
No, they will for a little bit. But I just don't believe, like, they're not genuine. Like, you meet for the wrong reasons.
So you feel like they're all doomed?
All doomed.
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see you married to a reality star in 3 years.
Yeah. Talk to Sal.
Yeah, I'll be married, but I'll probably get divorced again pretty soon.
That's depressing.
Well, I don't get what it is then. Because if you are meeting at the same parties, you're all kind of crazy, you all like each other, then why are they all doomed to fail?
Because everyone knows your business. And in the world we live in, like, you could do something wrong. You could hug the wrong person at the wrong time, and someone would take a picture of it, and then she could be like, well, "Why are you there? Why are you hugging her?"
Well,
and then paranoia kicks in, and then next thing you know, you're having a massive argument, and you're dumped.
Do they have reason to be paranoid most of the time, though?
Ooh. Do you give them the reason?
No, but like, people are their own worst enemies, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm sure you girls have driven yourself crazy over a guy one time.
What makes you say that?
I'm sure you've driven yourself crazy over a girl one time.
Yeah, my last girlfriend. I know.
Really? Anytime she was out with any other reality stars, you were freaking out?
No, she was actually, she's seeing a guy who she's with now, so I was right.
So you had a reason to.
I was right.
I'm so sorry.
That's right.
That's such a bummer. She was in the same circuit as you guys?
Yeah, yeah.
And you knew him?
He was a family friend.
Oh.
Yeah, tricky one.
Of yours?
No, hers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you do quotes. Family friend.
Yeah, he was a family friend.
See, that's the thing that people do. People throw that out there. Like, it's a family friend. It's like my brother. It's like my
cousin.
Just say like a brother.
If you're not your actual brother, No, then you're not, it's not like a brother. There's no such thing. Like, I have friends who are like my brother.
No, no, no.
None of them are my brother. I would never fuck my brother.
Well, that means that's why you're not saying they're your friend. Because if they're a friend, it's, I'm glad. It's like a friend. Oh,
it's different, right? Yeah. I mean, I've used that excuse before, too.
They're like my brother.
No.
It's not legitimate. So how do you start dating then? Like, what are you going to do? Because if that's who you run with, then that's who you run with. What do you...
To be honest, right now, I'm focused on my career. And it, like, dating-wise, how do you start dating? I mean, you just meet someone or you just slide into someone's DMs. That's the thing nowadays. Most people meet by you sliding into someone's DM and you have a conversation for a few weeks before you've even met this person. That's what happens.
Do you think that's weird nowadays? Because I find that to be very weird.
I honestly, I dated my last boyfriend from Twitter, so...
And it didn't work out.
No, but we dated for 2 years.
Or finding somebody, but talking for weeks before meeting face-to-face, I'd rather be like, okay, we'll have a few...
I think it's normal now. Like, so many people do it.
I agree.
Like, okay. 5 years ago, yeah, weird. Like,
but then does that leave nothing to mystery when you do get to sit down with that person face-to-face? You're like, oh, I already know all this about you,
no, you get to
online.
See them, touch them.
Okay, you get to touch them.
Are you worried that a lot of the people that you talk to online only want to date you because you are a reality star and they know you from The Challenge or X on the Beach?
Probably. Do you know what? I never trust a girl who DMs me. So I'll go out my way to DM someone else.
So how is she supposed to talk to you?
Yeah, well, like, occasionally I'll reply to some people on DMs, but, like, you have to do a bit of background search and stuff. But that's, like, you don't...
I wonder if you're taking a dig at me right now because I DM'd you to get on the AfterBuzz panel.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're fine.
I don't think totally that's what he means, but he doesn't respond.
I wasn't like, hey, Josh, want to meet up and go out with time. I said, hey, very professional. We got the AfterBuzz panel. You want to come on for the challenge? But I just thought it was funny you brought it up that way.
All right. So
because I did DM him first.
So feel free to pretend that he's now on the after show. What major challenge questions do you have to know
so
from
many.
Him?
Okay. First of all, you made it to episode 8. Crazy elimination. Mm. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, we saw a lot of you first episode because you killed the first challenge, came in first. And then you kind of went into the background a little bit. We didn't see a lot of your social game. So what do you think about the game politically? Because obviously you kill it as an athlete and you're a great competitor. What was it like on the politics
side? Well, that's the thing because I went into the house blind. We can't watch the show in the UK or anything. So
what?
Like, yeah, and I said anything I could see were clips on YouTube, which is like CT carrying Johnny Bananas around and stuff like that.
You don't hack it on some website? You can't find it at all?
I didn't. I'm not.
You
really,
didn't try.
Really
there's
like
got to be illegal
criminal.
Ways to do that.
I don't mean because of that, but if you're going on a show, I would think like you
want to do some research.
I won't send you screeners or anything.
No, we just Googled it and had a look. But like, I literally went in blind, and then because I thought it was such a physical show, I was like, okay, I'll just perform. So while I was out sunbathing every morning, everyone in my tiny shorts, everyone
good
was
for you.
In yeah, for me,
with Victor,
working on, yeah,
looking
working
good.
On my
channel.
Everyone
match,
was in that
actually.
House,
yeah.
Building alliances and doing all these plans and stuff. And I was so oblivious to it. I was so naive to it. Like that's
I find it insane for it to be possible to be that naive to everything. I feel like everybody's on each other's back.
Did you not
whispers,
notice like, certain groups working together?
Only talking to each other
and, you're like,
and not
oh,
others.
They're just buddies.
Yeah, they're just. I'm quite genuine. But like when you're in there, people aren't your friends. So like when I got voted in that time by 5 girls, I was like, guys.
You had thought they were your friends at that point.
But like. Everyone's voting people in for a reason. When I won the first challenge, that just put a massive target on my head.
And then do you, when you did win the first challenge, because you haven't watched any of the shows, most people, you normally don't want to win the very first one, especially when you kicked ass. Were you thinking through that at all? Or you're just like, I want to finish this and I just
no, if someone goes, you'll win $25,000, I was like, okay,
I'm gonna run.
Plus, I feel like you kicked everybody's asses so handily. I know you probably tried very hard, but you had a very big lead on everybody. So you would have to try harder to lose
Zach,
that.
Zach was on my ass. Every time I turned around, he was like...
He's a beast.
He thought I kept turning around and running backwards, and he thought I was mocking him and taking the piss. I was genuinely just wanting to see how far behind he was. And like, I had to keep running because when we were both walking, his strides are like 4 of mine, so he was catching me, so I had no option just to keep running.
Yeah. How do you feel about him as a person?
Zach's a funny one because like, he didn't speak to me like... much at all after that, because he was probably pretty pissed off. But we got speaking in the house, and he kind of opened up to me a little bit. And I think he's a really funny guy. Like he's a nice guy, but at first I think he just hated me.
One time when I was doing that AfterBuzz after show back in the day, Zach called in to call me a pussy bitch.
he took it upon himself to call in and tell you that because
I was like, this guy is mean right now.
Is this when he called us swamp donkeys?
I don't know.
International Women's Day. Yeah,
He's a tough cookie.
In previous,
I don't know what to make of that.
That's the worst episode ever.
No, he's hard to read.
That's not even insulting.
Yeah, he's hard to read.
Women are swamp donkeys made of the rib of man, so he's had not the best track record.
Wait, I'm sorry. Oh. They're swamp donkeys.
We're swamp donkeys, and we're made from the rib of man. All of that nonsense, basically.
Well, Michael Klaus, is that not true?
Do tell.
Well, I mean, technically, it is true.
Oh. Michael is a very extreme Christian. How do you phrase that? Michael is a...
You could just call it a Christian.
Yeah. He's very
You could
Christian.
Just go with a Christian.
He's our religious guide on here.
But the
it's
thing
very
is,
similar to me.
Yeah. Well, so you're talking about getting voted in. It threw you for a loop, right?
Yeah.
Then, so you get voted in. That's enough of a surprise. And then you see the mercenaries, all of the heavy hitters come in. Mm-hmm. Was that even more of a shock piled on top of that? Or were you just
You probably
game
didn't
ready?
Even know who they were.
Yeah, I didn't know who they were.
You didn't know who they were.
Because all the guys in the house, they'd speak about, I speak about CT a lot. Yeah. Like, the guy's a fucking myth. And all his stories and like Diesel Derek because he doesn't stop and this kind of stuff. But I don't know what they look like or anything. So these guys have just turned up and I had Shane. I picked Shane because Kyle was in the troika and he was like, who do you want? I was like, I'll have Shane because I figured they were going to put me in a physical challenge.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I picked Derek being the smaller guy.
Well, no, it was a flip of the coin, and then Derek got thrown against you.
Yeah.
Which, how ironic, of course, that two of the best, you know, athletic competitors in the season have to go against each other.
But like I was like, this guy's tiny. I'm gonna kill this guy, and he just wouldn't let go. Like I can't explain. Like it only said like 11 rounds, right? That we did 43 rounds.
Went on for 43.
Yeah, went on for an hour and a half. I had my foot on his neck. I was put, and then they kept like making the rules stricter and stricter because we were generally just really hurting each other.
So were you disappointed then that this was your exit from the house? You didn't have to go against anybody that was actually in the house, which I think you probably could have taken. Were you mad then, like, oh, I have to go against Derek, who's this
I was
legend?
Mad because although he won, he didn't beat me. That was my mistake. That's how I feel. But, like, the buzz that I've had after that, like, I respect him so much because he, like, the guy's a little animal. And I've had so much good feedback off that.
Wait, true or not true, did you actually slide into his DMs when he got off the show?
No, I messaged him straight afterwards. I was like, dude, you're a tank. Like,
see? He must have appreciated
that.
I'm sure he really did.
Because once like, you lose, you're gone. You didn't get to talk to him after. Do you guys hang out at a hotel room or anything? Like, you didn't get
to
talk to him.
Oh, no, we're both in the ambulance.
Are you being serious?
Wait, what injuries did you have? And then, I know he had what? He, like, cut his eye open?
He had his eye, but he just had cuts. I had a torn bicep, and then I've got scars on my legs and stuff.
He looked like he was mugged.
Do you want to continue subjecting yourself to that kind of pain? Like, are you going back?
Am I going back?
Yeah. To the challenge.
I would go back.
You would?
Go back.
Yeah.
But nothing's been confirmed?
Absolutely not.
You're a very, very terrible liar.
Yeah, that seems...
Yeah, not so good
sipping
at it.
Sipping the tea.
What kind of things, if you did go back, would you change going forward?
Well, I'm single now. So, like, that was a major thing because obviously I'm in a house. I didn't even want to give the impression that I was, like, single. So I wouldn't even flirt with the girls or anything like that. But, like, it is a massive social game. So I wouldn't even speak to them half the time.
Oh,
I think that's one of the reasons why they voted me in.
You're walking around with your shirt off, though. Did you expect them not to be around you and try and flirt with you?
I was just
We're
being
not animals. No. We can be
Listen,
in the same
you
room
didn't
with
watch
people
the
without
season. You didn't watch the season. You can even see in the confessional the interviews with the guys. The guys were like, oh my gosh, Josh walking around with his shirt off. He's really making me question my sexuality. I can't be around this guy.
Wow.
So for someone not trying to talk to the girls and seeing how the girls were following him,
he's trying to get a tan.
They were watching him like a bunch of animals.
So, but
you know, in fairness, I did have the shortest shorts as well. Like.
So, but you've said you are not looking for love with reality stars, but now you're saying you're going to use your flirtation to get more money?
Not that I'm going to flirt with people, but it's a social game, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be able to, like, the girls are just as important as the guys in that game. Even though we don't go against the girls, like, one-on-one, they're still a massive part of the voting side of everything. So that will help me. And obviously, there he is.
Hey, there you are.
Yep.
There it is.
And
that's what we
shorts.
Saw all
Clean
season
canvas.
Long until episode 8. And sadly,
you look
now
good.
That is
a
gone.
Lot of people on that show have good bodies, though. Is he not allowed to wear his short shorts?
Oh, he absolutely
are the
is.
Short shorts.
I just think it was
a
funny
UK thing.
I'm in support.
Yeah, they are. Because all the guys were like, what the fuck is he wearing?
I think we should adopt it in America. Bring on the short shorts.
Oh, yeah. I'd take a lot of short shorts back if I was going back. Oh,
so what would you do, though, other than that? You would make sure that you were talking to some of the women, which is an important part of the game.
Yeah. Any other? So, social game. And do you know what? I wouldn't go like balls to the wall as much as I did. Because I think it does put a massive target on your back straight away. Like TJ said it, he was like, congratulations, you just won 25 grand and a massive bullseye.
I guess, but you never know how long you're going to last on the show. So don't you want to show up when you have the opportunity to?
Yeah, of course. I mean, do you know what? Like, although it did put a target on my back, it made a good entrance for me as well. Obviously, people can see that I'm a threat.
Yeah.
And the thing with Derek as well, it was a good elimination. So people can see what I'm capable of. So...
people will probably be scared to go in in an elimination with you going forward.
Yeah.
So was there anybody, since you have to go against Derek, who's a mercenary, not even on the season, comes back in, was there anybody in the house on that season that you think you might not have taken in the elimination?
In that one?
Yes. Because?
I mean, Zach was one of the bigger guys.
Okay.
So probably him. He would have been hard. Brad, he's like a caveman. The lowest voice ever. It doesn't blink as well. I don't even notice. His eyes are like constantly like
everybody says that. I don't think we get to see enough through editing to really grasp whether he blinks or not, but that seems to be the rumor going around that Brad doesn't blink. The breaking news. Weird.
And he snores so
bad. I could see it.
Jeez, we have to put him in the living room upstairs.
Nothing wrong with a snorer. Hey, they cannot help themselves.
I could absolutely see
get
that.
A retainer or something.
I also want to get your opinion on, you girls were telling me about this bullying situation that's happening.
Have you been keeping up with the episodes? Did you watch last night?
I didn't watch it, but I know what happened. So Kaylee's my ex.
Yes.
Right.
I don't condone what happened to that at all. That's well out of order.
Wait, so for our fans who are watching who don't know what happened, what exactly happened?
So I believe, did you watch it? Yeah,
yes, sorry, I watched it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think she kissed Johnny Bananas at the start and it kept it a secret. And I kind of hooked her up with Nelson in the house. And then the news.
What do you mean you kind of hooked her up with Nelson?
Yeah, you were the matchmaker?
Yeah.
Tell us more about that. That's interesting.
Nelson likes Kaylee, like whatever.
And you don't care? That's your ex.
Yeah, it's long gone.
But didn't
gone.
You call it, she's like, you've... quote unquote said she was fucking mental.
She is fucking mental.
Okay.
She's nuts.
Somebody else.
Good
okay.
Yeah, no, like,
she was my vendetta in the house, but what we had, it was so long ago, so we squashed it ages ago, and Nelson liked her. I was just like, listen. And she actually asked me, she said, do you mind? I was like, no, just go ahead.
Wow. But, that's kind of respectful.
Mature.
But, he finds out that they kissed, didn't they? And then...
so Devin is trying to get Bananas out of the house. So he's trying to split up Bananas and Natalie, who are a couple, and Kaylee and Nelson, who are a couple. He just wants to cause
Devin's
ruckus,
great.
Make everything explode. So he tells Nelson, what you don't know is that Kaylee and Bananas have been hooking up. He doesn't go into specifics.
And is that true? Do we know that for
didn't
fact?
Didn't they just
Devin
kiss?
Said he saw it. Exactly. What comes out later is this was a drunken random kiss before Natalie and Bananas even got together. Meanwhile, Devin's kind of making it seem like they're hooking up behind closed doors. So the girls go mean girls, girl code, and three of the girls, Kayla, Jemmy, and Brittany, take it upon themselves. Natalie, this is her man in the house, doesn't even get involved. Those three girls throw her, Kaylee's, all of her mattress, all of her belongings over the balcony. Things break on the glass.
And did you feel bad for her at this time?
Yeah, well, no, she rang me afterwards because I obviously didn't know any of this.
And what'd she say?
And she was like, they smashed my strainers, all this kind of stuff. A lot of money was just broken and all this stuff. They threw it off the balcony, like a big fucking balcony.
Why did she call you to say that?
Because I'd just done the show with this, I guess. But do you know what it was? Because me and her, everything was just squashed between us. So when we had a problem, we'd be like each other's go-to people because we know each other. Do you know what I mean? She's like my ex-girlfriend. And we did get along once and it was refreshing to actually just be mates for once. But she just rang me and told me the situation. And I felt so bad because bullying, especially when you're in that environment, your emotions are sky high, as you'll know, and the cameras are on you. So when you're feeling down, you feel so down.
So you do feel like it really was bullying.
Yeah, that's not cool. Yeah.
Well, question, I know, so the challenge, actually, they, in the episode, kind of brought that to everyone's attention. They put kind of like a disclaimer that we do not condone bullying and all that. And that was the first time I think they've ever done that, really. But do you think it's right that they kind of did that, but they kind of turn a blind eye to a lot of other stuff, or should they have just left it alone? Or do you think they, the challenge did the right thing by saying, hey, this is not okay?
No, yeah. They've kind of got to let it happen. Do you know what I mean? Because it's TV, it's drama.
Right.
But they'll just get a bollocking afterwards, basically.
They'll just
and
what
she,
afterwards?
She, They'll get a bollocking.
The what?
What?
They'll get bollocking?
A bollocking.
Is that a UK term?
All right.
I'm not familiar. Like
telling off.
Oh, nice. Okay. Like scolding? Like you'll get a bollocking?
No, I think that's like illegal. You shouldn't scold people.
Scold, like talk too sternly. Like,
oh, yeah.
Give them like a good talking to.
Or the communication that just took place. All right, we'll laugh a lifetime.
The disconnect here is amazing.
Yeah, incredible. Okay, so you guys agree that it was bullying. Like across
I think
the board.
It was.
No question about it.
I don't think it, but you know Kaylee very well, obviously. Did you foresee her quitting then after that incident, or do you think that she would have stayed in the house?
I think she would have left. Like there was a lot of girls just going at her. Mm-hmm. She'll feel so like claustrophobic and just but like who does she go to? I've gone like you speak to Nelson. Nelson hates her at this point.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So who does she speak to?
Right.
So she just wants to get out of there at this point.
Yeah. The bullying thing is a very slippery slope, but what was so annoying about it was that all the girls were sticking up for Natalie when they were not friends with her the entire season. And the entire time they're saying, I can't wait to throw Natalie in. She's fake. We don't like her. Now all of a sudden they decide to have Natalie's back.
But why?
That's the thing that's so weird about the situation.
Any thoughts on that? Why they would have flipped like that?
They're all fucking nuts.
All of them.
Fucking crazy.
You think every single
Marie
show
is nuts. I'd be in a conversation with her because I fucked Sylvia over, didn't I? Apparently, with the eating challenge.
Oh.
So I had to pick her because if I picked Brad, it would have been a boys' day, and then I would have been up for elimination. That's why. But anyway, so she was so angry about that situation. We'd be in conversation, if she'd be nice to me 1 second, then she'd just switch.
Marie.
Like, and just start getting really fucking angry with me all the time. Like she's bipolar.
I've heard that a little bit about Marie.
Speaking of the crazy women, you just said if you wouldn't have had a girlfriend, it would have changed some things. So had you been single in this house, who out of all the girls would you have possibly hooked up with?
I love it, Mom.
Even though they're all psycho, but you got to pick one.
Sylvia was putting it on me a lot. Like she was making me feel so awkward at sometimes.
Awkward because you wanted it.
No, like she'd come up to me and lick my chest.
Oh,
what?
Like she did that once. I was like, she was like, you got something there. I was like, what? And then she just like licked my chest.
Are you into it at all?
What, that?
Her?
Not really, no.
So that doesn't answer Morgan's question.
Yeah, like
you gotta pick one.
So it would have been Sylvia?
I've got to pick one.
Yeah, she's saying you have to pick one of them.
Hypothetically,
because it's gonna help your game in the end. You said if you could go back.
No.
What girl is going to...
Shagging them on TV will not help my game.
No, socializing, kind of having a girl to latch onto as your alliance.
That's the thing
game.
As well, because when you... If you, like, just pick one like Bananas did, you see them as a team. Like, once Corey went straight away, everyone was like, right, Alicia needs to go. Like, what's the point of her? Do you know what I mean? So when you actually... You single yourself out when you actually get as a couple. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a fine line you've got to go on. Bananas played it really well because he wasn't spending too much time with her. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't like spending the night with her and stuff.
That's what you get for being a vet. He knows how to play the game.
He knows the game, absolutely.
Yeah,
More than anyone.
He's so switched on about the game. I mean, he's done, 16 of them?
Yeah, that's true. So other than the challenge, what do you have going on? What do you got in the future? I know you've got your book, your e-book, all the workouts.
Yeah, my fitness is my bread and butter, so I do loads of that. I coach people all over the world, so that's the thing. But I'm trying to actually get over here as much as possible. Like, I've came over in February and came for two. I was only meant to come for like 4 days, stay for 2 weeks. I love it here.
Trying to move.
Yeah, I'd love to move it, yeah.
Wow.
Well, I noticed at the reunion for Vendettas was last night in New York.
Yeah,
but you're
here.
So you're in the US. Why did you not go to the reunion?
They couldn't get clearance to film me. So all the people... I have no idea. That's just what they said. But so all the people in the UK, they went down to London and they were all in studio or doing like a live feed or something. Because I was here, they needed clearance to film me in New York.
Clearance from the UK to film you here?
I don't know.
You were on the show. It feels
You didn't ask
weird.
Any follow-up questions?
Like, no, I did. I was like, this is stupid. I'm in America. I was like, I'll come to New York. They said, sorry, no, we can't do it. So,
well, let's pretend this is the reunion.
I don't know. I will say
I don't know.
The reality.
I went out last night and had a great night. So.
Roles.
So what did you do last night? Because this hangover, we got to hear more about it.
I went to Sir.
Oh, my God. I love that restaurant. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Fun. Banging food. Great food. I went to Sir with Sheena and Robbie off The Bachelor as well.
Okay.
And then just a few of their friends as well.
So, wow. It was like a whole Tomorrow Show past guest party.
Yeah,
now you're part of
pretty
it.
Pretty much.
Did
and then
you
went
go...
to a bar, which I do not remember.
Was it the Abbey? Because that's right by Sir.
We could have bumped into each other. We don't know.
We
I might have been at the same
did.
Place you did last night.
Yeah, I blacked
probably
out. You blacked
with each
out.
Other.
Yeah. That's true.
It's yeah. Oh, were you the girl on the table?
That was you.
That was you, wasn't it? I knew it was you. Nice move.
Yeah. We also took Michael's coworker with us. That's a little insider one for Michael. Sorry. Everybody's got a hangover today. Is that a typical night for you? Like all reality stars from Vanderpump, from Bachelor?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah. That's just your life.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm just getting to like meet people here. So I was just going out and having some fun, but... That's like a prime example of what I'm saying. Reality stars, they just tend to go together.
It's a weird family. But yeah. Being a reality star and also being in fitness, I mean, obviously, I love going out all the time, but I'm not a bodybuilder. How do you balance, I mean, not
my rule is your... I eat perfect, but I can drink what I want.
But how does that balance? Alcohol has so many calories.
No cookies, no can't, like, you eat perfect as in your diet.
I try to be perfect. I mean, like, it's really hard here because you guys have some serious food. IHOP. Oh, my God.
What? Wait, like, that's not just an L.A. thing. I thought you meant specifically L.A. has so much, but you're going to IHOP.
I completely agree. I love IHOP. And not only that, you know who else loves IHOP? Kevin, who usually sits here, and Maria. And I have gone with them to IHOP so many times.
It's 24 hour.
It's unbelievable there. Underrated restaurant.
But out of all the American food.
I completely agree.
Have you been to In-N-Out? He's got to go to In-N-Out. In-N-Out? No. Go to In-N-Out.
It's not
in
his diet.
No,
it's not
like,
as good as IHOP.
I got a little like Chipotle, which I'll send Chipotle at first.
So does my grandma, don't worry.
Chick-fil-A.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Check that out. But no, IHOP, those pancakes. Chocolate chip blueberry pancakes.
I think I know where I'm going after this now.
They pop off.
It's banana 24. Chocolate chip blueberry? No, we're done now. We were in sync and now we're
have
done.
Have we killed it?
Yeah, we killed it.
I think we should have a drink.
Yeah, we're coming back. Yeah, we probably do need more alcohol. All right, guys. Joss in the house. If they want to find you, where can they keep up with you moving forward?
On Instagram, it's at Joss Mooney. And on Twitter, it's at Joss_Mooney.
And they want to get your book, your ebook, if they want to get some good workouts.
Yeah, go to my website. If anyone wants any fitness advice, despite me talking about alcohol, go to www.jossmooney.co.uk.
And they shouldn't slide into your DMs because you won't respond.
I will look, but I might not reply.
He won't trust you.
Slide into the DMs.
So what will get your attention in the DMs?
Don't send dick pics because I get a load of those.
No,
well.
You
me
don't.
Me fucking too. I'm so over it.
You're a girl. It's different. Like,
don't. No, it's not.
No, it's not different, actually.
It's still an unwanted dick.
I don't want you. Yeah, it's still an unwanted
dick.
It's still
an unwanted dick.
They put their like face in it. Like, you can very much blackmail these people. I'm like... Why?
I think you should start. Why? Anybody who sends you their dick, you should start tweeting it.
Just please do.
Just tweet picture of the dick.
It's actually really good. That'll get out about.
I bet it's not an attractive dick.
I mean,
it'll never happen to you again.
I would, but then I'd be posting dick pics all day. Then I'd just look gay. So
yeah, it's not a best look. All right, we're gonna cut to commercial, guys. Say bye to Joss. Don't forget to follow him, and we'll be right back in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere.
A seat right over there, sat on the stairs, stay or leave. The cabinets are bare and I'm unaware.
Back
of
to the Tomorrow Show. Damn, I love this song.
It never gets old. Doesn't it make you just want to like roll your windows down?
All right, so I was just at a bachelorette party in Mexico for 5 days in Tulum. And this song was like, you know how anytime you go on a trip, there is a song of the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
This was that. So it's like anytime it came on, we were like the dumbest white bitches that like, it's our song. Oh my God, it's our song. So now I feel like for some reason I have ownership over the song. Which
no, fully claim it.
I did nothing to make the song. I have no part of the song. It just makes me think about getting drunk on a beach. So like.
What is better? Literally.
There are some things, but not much. Not much. I mean, if you look at, Bonjour's got a lot of things going on in the booth right now. But if you look at my Instagram pictures, like.
You crushed it.
It was like fucking gorgeous. With the most gorgeous girls, the most gorgeous Airbnb, which I loved. It was, we had a personal chef 24/7.
Shut your mouth.
Just freaking amazing. Because this is what happens. My friends from high school are loaded.
Ah, the best.
My friends from high
school.
You're
my spirit
are
animal.
Loaded. And so money, not a problem. Like, everybody had to cough up thousands to go on this trip.
That hurts my heart.
It does. But literally not one person complaining the whole time about anything. is so nice. I'm in my mind thinking, how the fuck am I going to pay rent this month? Mm-hmm. But they're all like throwing money left and right. Like, oh, do you not have enough pesos? Got you. No worries. Like, so generous, so considerate.
Oh my God, I need your friends.
Oh, the best. That's what you get.
High school friends?
Yeah, high school friends. But middle school friends, my homies, ride or die. And you guys know, if you listen to the show, I'm kind of an expert at bachelorettes at this point. I've gone to way too many. I don't remember which episode number it was, Bonjour, but remember my first bachelorette escapades?
Yeah, I do remember. But I also remember you kind of complaining about them. Was this one a good trip?
Well, okay. So for anybody else that was there, it was probably the best trip of their life. It was amazing. But when you are going through your own personal shit, you can't have fun no matter what you do. Like, there's nothing you can do to get there. So I made the most of what I could do under my current circumstances, which we will dive into a little bit tonight before we get to the news when Michael gets back from the crapper. Just kidding. Just kidding. I only say that because I know Michael's not going to listen back to the episode and he'll never know I just told everybody he was on the crapper.
Everyone believe it.
Kev, that one's for you. We miss you. Guys, we'll be back Monday, by the way. Yeah, so Kevin was talking to you guys when Sean was here a couple of nights ago, possibly a week ago. There's Michael back from the crapper, by the way. He doesn't have his headset on yet. Oh, there he is.
Last chance.
Oh, Michael.
So good to have you back.
So good to see you, Michael. How was your trip outside?
Oh, my God. Uh-oh. I feel like I came around, came back too early.
No, you're perfect timing. Yeah. How you feeling?
I'm feeling all right.
So Kevin was talking to you guys when he was talking to Sean, and they were talking about heartache and the friend. Spoiler alert, I'm the friend. That is me. I am like really going through it right now and having, I don't know whether to call them relationship issues or whether to say just what it is, but my boyfriend of 3 years just like got up and walked out, and I'm not even ready to like dive into what the fuck that means for my life, because we live together and like what that even fucking looks like. But that was 2 days before I left for Mexico. So it's like, there's almost nothing you can do. But Kevin kept saying to me, when you are heartbroken, when you're going through what you're going through, the last thing in the world you're going to want to do is get up and do something with people who love you.
Yeah.
And the only thing that will make you better is to get up and do something with the people you love you. Mm-hmm. So here's what I know right now. I know that I'm not getting enough nutrients because I can't stomach anything. I know that my whole world just got rocked. And I know that right now I don't trust myself. So you have to listen to the person who you look at and has their shit together. And you take advice from somebody who is in a position that you want to be in. So I look at Kevin and I'm like, okay, not only does he have the career success going on, but is he somebody I should take relationship advice from? Yes, you have been with your person for 20 years. You guys have been through hell and back and you've stood by each other. So I'm like, okay, I don't trust myself to make decisions right now. I'm just going to listen to what he says. And if he tells me to do something, then I'm going to do it. And that's what I've done from the moment my boyfriend walked out. That is what I've done. The first call I made was to Kevin. And I advise any of you guys who are going through a breakup or a situation to call the first person you call should be the person you need to get advice from the most. The person who's in a position that can actually tell you the helpful things to do. And he came with Maria and they came and picked me up at my house and we walked around a mall for like it might have been 20 minutes. It might have been 7 hours, to be perfectly honest. Somewhere in between those things, I don't remember. And they just like walked circles around the mall with me and talked to me and listened to me and gave me advice while also just like truly hearing what I had to say. And I'm so fucking grateful that I have somebody like that in my life. And it's made me realize how important it really is to have a support system out here, especially when you're far from home. Just so important to pick the right people. And I did that. So that's been a blessing. Kevin always talks about finding the blessings too. And the fact that I do have him and have other people who have like come out of the woodworks. It's been incredible. So I got through the first 2 days and then I just got on a fucking plane, which was torturous. torturous because the last sitting by yourself, and trying to get to Mexico to Tulum, where you have to fly for 6 hours, and then I had to find a way to get a car, and then you have to drive for 90 minutes, and then it's dark, and you're trying to look for the house, and everybody's already drunk because they're coming from the East Coast. It was like, fuck me. But Kevin was like, Rox, you're going. So listen to me. That's what's best for you. You're going. I get to the airport on my way there. And I get through the first terminal, and then I have to take a bus to the next place because I'm going international. I take the bus. I'm sitting there waiting for the plane, and I'm on the phone with Kevin, and all of a sudden I'm like, wow, I don't have a bag with me. And Kevin's like, this is how fucked up my brain is at this point. And Kevin's like, what do you mean? And I was like, at some point, I don't remember what point, I don't have a bag.
You had everything packed.
Everything packed. I was like, did I leave it at home? Did I put it through the airport security? What do I do? I'm going to miss my flight. My flight is now boarding. And I'm like, fuck me. Until Kevin's like, chill the fuck out. What's your flight number? What's your flight number? What airline? And so I give it to him. Keep in mind, haven't eaten in 2.5 days. Not one thing has gone into my system. Like, can't even hold it together. And he's like, just go fucking find your bag. Find your bag. And if you can't get on this flight, I'm going to get you on the next one. Don't worry. I've got it. I've got you. Just go focus on your bag. So I start running through the airport. And by running, I mean, like, picture, like, the most malnourished little child, like, attempting to run. It was pathetic. Like, I'm, like, tripping through the airport, like, literally at zero speed. And finally, I get back to where security is. And my bag is just on the thing still.
No.
Like, I had put it through security and then just kept walking.
Man.
But I was like, thank God at least I didn't got it that far.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise I was like, do I even have a bag? I don't even know. So he had called the airline, called the plane, had them hold the plane. I'm the last passenger. I'm sprinting back through the airport, get on another bus to get back to the terminal I need to go to with my bag. Everybody, like, out of a movie is screaming, run, run. And finally I get there. And they're like, get your ass on the plane, your last one. I get in, they literally close the door, and I made my flight. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I just fought so hard for something that I didn't even think I wanted. I didn't even think I wanted to go to Mexico. I feel sick, but, like, Kevin told me to do this, so I'm just fucking doing it. Like, I'm just doing it.
Can we just point out again how freaking awesome Kevin is for doing that? And being like, seriously. No, but don't worry. I'll handle it. You do step A, and I'll do B, C, D, and E.
I know, which again is why, like, it is just essential to pick the right support system. Because otherwise, I wouldn't have – I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be here right now. Like, fucked. He's taking care of me every step of the way. But then – so then I've got this flight, and I'm like, wow, 6 hours by myself in my head right now? Uh-oh. Like, I haven't spent 20 minutes by myself without being on the phone with him or anybody. Fuck. So Kevin told me, and Sean said it too, you have to do what you have to do to survive. Like, you have to do what you have to do, not kill yourself, whatever that takes. You have to do what you have to do to get through it. And right now, that's mentally where I am. Like, I've got to do what I have to do to wake up in the morning. So I get on the plane, and I was like, yep, nope, this is not doing this like this. You got to take your drinks if you got to take them. You take your Xanax when you got to take it. And I did. And next thing I know, I wake up in Mexico. So I get to Mexico. And now I really haven't eaten in 3 days. I get off the plane. And there's all these fucking people screaming at you in Spanish trying to get you in their cabs. And I'm like, fuck me. Like, I know I've called the service. My friends called the car service for me. How do I find it? It's like 95 degrees outside. I'm dripping in sweat. I have not eaten. And I pass out. I just passed out on my bag. This wonderful man named Jose came and picked me up and was like, honey, what are you looking for? I must have been out for less than a minute.
Thank God it was a wonderful man,
He was lovely. And he was like, what are you looking for? I was like, Julio. I'm looking for Julio. And he just starts shouting, Julio! Julio! And this man comes running. And he was like, hi, I'm Julio. And I'm like, at this point, I'm like, all right, I don't know if you are or if you're not, but I'm going to get in your car because, like, I can't stand any longer, so I'm just going to fucking do it. So I get in Julio's white van with no identification on it, and I was like, well, this is, I know this isn't the smartest. This is not my advice to other people, but you could only do so much, and if he takes me right now, he fucking takes me.
Like, fate.
Like, if he fucking takes me, he takes me, so fine. If he does. Like, what do I got to lose? He didn't, because I'm here right now. And it worked. I was so fucked up in the moment that I'm texting my sister. I'm like, I'm in Julio's car. And she's like, can you send me a picture of it? And I sent her a picture of the back of his head. And she was like, I meant, like, anything that could help me identify what car you're in. A license plate, anything. I was like, we're moving and this is the only angle I have.
Jose's hair color just didn't do it, or?
No, Jose was the guy who picked me up. This is Julio now.
Oh, stick Julio.
With it.
Sorry.
No, nope. Get with the program.
His very generic brown hair did not help. It did not. Finally, we get to the place that I'm staying, and it was very overwhelming. Everybody was like shit-faced and ready to go. And I was like, I need to get back in that car and go home. But I texted Kevin and he was like, just grab one girl and like go to the side and get in like the shower or do like your clean up, like unpack, do something, you know, just like go. So I did. And then every day for like 10 minutes in the morning, I was like, fuck, I've got to get out of here. And then you just like push through it. And then more time goes by. You try to sleep as much as you can. You try to drink and drug up as much as you can. And I did. And I'll say the only moment on the entire trip that I really felt okay for a second, and I texted Kevin, was when I finally went to the club the night that I was dreading the most. Because it was club night with all the bitches. And I was like, fuck, I really have to be on for this one.
Not ready.
But the music was so loud and I was dancing so hard that I couldn't think. And it was like the only moment that anything felt even close to okay. And I don't know, like he had said, the thing you want to do the least is probably the thing that's going to help you the most. And like it, when I say it was so dark and so loud and like so sweaty, it was just like, okay. All right, somehow I'm going to fucking make it through this nightmare of an event. Somehow I'm going to.
Were the other girls, a majority of the girls, single or in relationships?
No,
or?
Every one of my friends is either married or in a relationship or is living, they're engaged. They're all, it's kind of the way it is back east. Like at this point, I'm 27 almost, and all of my girlfriends, I mean, they're like talking babies. They own homes. They live with their people, and that's why we're there for a bachelorette. We're there because somebody else is getting married. So it was really hard. And they all tried to imagine, like, what if my man left me for no rhyme or reason after 3 years after living with him? What if he left?
Oh, but that's worse, though, because then everyone is in that, like, oh, my goodness.
But they're trying to help me, too. And I'm trying not to bring down the mood, Michael, so I'm, like, trying to not talk about it too much, but at the same time, it's all you can think about. And the only thing that helps is talking out loud about it. Because if you're not talking out loud about it, you're in your head about it.
True.
But you don't want to keep talking about it because you feel like you're being annoying. So it's like that thin balance. So you got to almost like section off who you're talking to at what times. I would be like, okay, today, this morning from 10 a.m. to 12, I'm going to bother this person. And then at 3 p.m., I'm going to be able to talk about this again by transitioning to this person. And I've got to spread out who I'm talking, like very strategic. And in between that, I know that I can call Kevin and he'll be able to talk to me about this. And then after that, I'm going to FaceTime with my sister. But like taking it, another thing Kevin told me, 15 minutes at a time, when we were talking to John Taffer the other night and I asked him, and he was like, everything you do, you can only do it in increments, take it an hour at a time. And I said, is it okay sometimes if you only take it 15 minutes at a time? And he was like, yes, that's okay. I was like, okay, thank fucking God, because that's all I've got right now. That's all I've got. What are the next 15 minutes? Oh, I have to get in my car in the next 15 minutes? Okay, what is 15 minutes after that? Okay, I'm going to be driving for those 15 minutes? Okay, next 15 minutes after that. I've got to be on camera? Okay, next 15 minutes after that. I'm still on, like, literally that's my life right now. What is happening every 15 minutes? And that's going to be the way it is for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of have to be okay with that.
And which, I think that's also what Kevin was saying at the airport, too, of like, listen, find your bag. That's step A.
Yeah, so
do step A before you do step D.
Like, I couldn't get to step D because without step A, there is no step D.
Yes.
So you have to do it in order. There are certain things you just have to knock out in order. And if you don't do it like that, you can't get there. So that's what I'm just trying to do. Like, every morning, wake up, try to do something that feels a little good, give myself a little extra time. Go to the first thing. Don't think about the second thing. Then look at my calendar. What job am I working next? All right, now get there. Like on Thursdays today, I have 3 jobs that I work on Thursdays. But this morning, that was too daunting. So this morning, I was like, get up and go to your first job. Just get up and go to your first job. All you have to do is show up there. Your muscle memory will do the rest for you.
Yep.
And it did. And then after that, look at your phone. Okay, what's on my schedule next? I've got my second job. Go to your second job. You just got to get there. I think that I'm lucky in the sense that I've had the shit kicked out of me for a very long time. Not as bad as some people have for sure, but definitely enough. And so I know what it's like to get the shit kicked out of me. So I'm pretty good at bouncing back in terms of showing up to work and making sure that I wake up and all of those things. But at the same time, I used to be way more of a drug addict. So that really helped. And, you know, when you're going through pain and you like can't feel it, then you're able to move forward quickly. And now I'm no longer in that state, which sucks because it hurts more. But it's good because I'm actually dealing with what's going on. And so right now it's almost like one of the first times that I'm getting punched, even though I've been punched so many other times, because it's the first time I'm being punched as an adult. It's the first time I'm being punched after being in love. It's the first time I'm being punched where I'm not fucking like a party animal or in college or just like on so many painkillers that it doesn't even matter. And so it's like, even though I've got all of these bruises and all these punches, I never really felt them. And now this one's like, fuck, like, oh, wow, that's what I probably would have felt all those years, but I didn't.
You know, Rox, I got to commend you, though, because I know a lot of people in the chat, monitoring the chat tonight. Thank you, everyone. Again,
love you
great
guys
people.
In the chat.
We love you. And Roxy's going to love you even more after I tell her like all the kind words that you guys have been saying. But it also, again, I want to commend you because nobody knew. I mean, you've been doing this show for the last week and a half, and nobody knew that this had happened because you're so professional.
Certainly you guys know because two shows ago, we did a show and we turned off the cameras. And just to give you guys a little bit behind the scenes, we turned off the cameras. And the second they went off, I burst into hysterical tears, melted onto the floor. Kevin had to. And bonjour, Michael, you guys can admit to this or whatnot. Kevin had to carry me out, physically carry me. I couldn't walk. He carried me out of studio.
Were you fighting the entire time, bringing the tears
back? And that makes it worse, though, when you're like, don't cry, don't cry.
Yeah.
It's like a release.
No, I really am not. I'm not fighting the tears the whole time. Luckily, I've been doing this for 9 years now, and I have over 10,000 hours on camera, thanks to AfterBuzz and all of the other jobs that I've had. And it's fucking second nature to me at this point. So the second... the second before we started, I was out there sitting with Maria as she was holding me and Ashley, and they're holding me, and Maria's putting her dog on my chest and trying to like make me feel better. And I'm crying out there. And then I look at my clock and it was 20 of, and I was like, okay, Jules tells me I have to be in my seat at 20 of. So I just stood up, stopped crying, came in, sat down, did the show. And it wasn't like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. It just was like, this is your job. You're doing your job. And I don't mean to say it's my job. Like, it's not like a regular
I love it here. Yeah,
this is amazing. But it's part of my work and it's part of what I do. And the second I didn't have to do it anymore, my body was like, okay, you don't have to. And you're around people you love and who love you, and it's okay. But he literally carried me out.
Dang. Like the reality flick just switched back on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like Michael Jordan flu game. You just do it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
but I mean, I think that shows how much you love your job, though, because a lot of people, if you hated your job, you wouldn't come. You wouldn't hold yourself together. So I think that in itself shows.
I think, though, even if you do hate your job, if you're feeling the way that I'm feeling, because I think a lot of people, the reason I'm talking about this now is, and I have all of these friends to talk to about it. And not that you guys at home aren't my friends, because you have become my friends. But the reason I'm talking about it is because everybody I talk to is like, oh man, been there. Holy shit. Like, nothing hurts like heartbreak. And if you haven't been there yet, maybe you'll never be there, or maybe you will, and maybe you'll remember some of this and it will help you out. But this is such a universal feeling, and nothing hurts like it. Like, you guys know, I've lost my mom when I was a kid, and I've been through other things that have been hell, and it's a different kind of pain, but nothing makes your entire life dark like heartache. Nothing. Because you can't see anything else. And everybody that I've talked to who's been like, I've been there before, I get that. It's crazy how many people go through it. Mm-hmm. And just like regular ass people who just fell in love with somebody and it didn't work out. And I had no idea like how many people, because in my mind, this is the worst pain ever. I'm like, probably nobody's ever felt this before. But that's just me in my small little world, and it's not true. I'm going to say probably 50% of people feel this at some point in their life. And it fucking sucks. It's awful. But well, I think it's nicer to know that other people have felt it and have moved on and have found other people or have found success or whatever it is that they needed to move on to.
And that's the case with anything. I mean, obviously we're talking about heartbreak and love here, but anything in life. I mean, the more you talk about it, you're like, oh, well, this person was bullied growing up. This person faced this obstacle growing up. This person had this. And, like, you always place these people on pedestals. But no matter what it is, the more you talk about it, the more you realize you're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. But sometimes the hardest thing to do is to talk about it. Like, I was on the phone with Kevin today, and he's checked in with me every few hours, and he wanted to call me today because they're going out of town. And he was like, do we need to set up a system while I'm out of town? And he was saying to me, you know, I've got this person that if you want to go talk to, you can see. And I was like, the hardest thing about seeing somebody new is like telling the backstory, because before you can even get to this story, you have to tell 70,000 other stories. And when you have somebody like Kevin, like he lived my entire, he knew me before my relationship, he knew me during, and he knew me after. And I didn't have to tell him 7,000 stories to say, my boyfriend dumped me. All I had to say was that, and he knew what he had meant to me, and he knew that we lived together, and he knew everything. So it's nice to not have to explain yourself to everybody. So it's great to talk about it. I agree, Michael, and it is so universal, but it's also so hard to talk to about people who,
for sure,
who don't know, they don't know the situation. So yeah. My other advice to people out there, not people who are going through heartache, but people who are helping other people who are, is to really, really listen to what the person's saying to you. Because the worst, the people I am not talking to right now, my friends that are calling me saying, we love you, that I don't want to call back, are the ones who are saying, fuck him. Because I'm not an angry person. That's not how I'm dealing with this. I'm not mad at him, and I don't want to say fuck him, and I don't want to be on the phone with people who want to say fuck him, that he's a piece of shit because of this. That's not where I am. So listen to the person, and maybe other people who have been dumped want that. Listen to the person. Listen to the person who's been broken up with, see what their tone is, and adjust accordingly. If they're pissed and you think it's helpful to be pissed, then be pissed. But if they're not, then don't, because the situation is not about you. And it really is important to listen to what they're saying and to react. React based on how they're feeling and what they're saying. So if you're trying to help somebody out, it's not the best idea to just jump in with your own anger.
That is so true. That literally, now that you're saying that, there's so many times where people are like, oh, yeah. And you're like, no, that's not what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
That is so true, Rox.
Yeah. It's just like freaking annoying. And I know that Kev's coming, going to be here tonight in a little bit. And I'll probably come and cry into his arms again. Yeah. But like, thank goodness he just listened to what I said and really heard me and gave me advice accordingly. And his advice was not tell him to fuck off and tell him to be mean. And his advice was not go running back to him. He just heard what I said and was like, I totally get that. What do you want? Let's figure out how to get that. And I think a lot of people don't have that ability. So if you can, and you're at home and you're listening to this, be one of those people and try to take that lesson from Kevin, because it's a really good one. And then you can really be there for your friends when they need them. And I think that goes for more than just heartache, for so many different situations. Like if somebody's been fired and they're upset about that, or if somebody has just had a bad day, you know your players, know the people. Anyway, in less upsetting news, well, actually, that may not be true. Michael, you'll tell me. What is going on in the world today, my friend? I have a feeling it actually will probably be more upsetting than my love life.
Well, I wouldn't say that. There actually is perhaps the most optimistic news that has come out in a long time.
Ooh.
And it actually just broke a little while ago, probably a couple hours ago, and it involves Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, who is the leader of North Korea. And it just was announced that they will actually meet face-to-face to talk about denuclearization in Korea. Now, to put this in perspective, just how big
Michael,
is.
What kind of news did you say this was? Exciting?
Here's why this is exciting. Because in the meantime, Kim Jong-un has agreed to not launch any more nuclear missiles or do any more tests. And this is literally the first time ever, literally ever in history that a U.S. president who is sitting in office will actually talk with the leader of North Korea. And obviously anyone who knows the tension between us and North Korea, as we've said just 10 minutes ago, how good is communication? Any communication, you know, literally never before in history has a U.S. president sitting in office talked with the leader of North Korea. So we're really hoping that we can get some things done. They said that they, you know, want to come to an agreement. Obviously, we've been very strong on them on trade and punishments and NATO. So hopefully we can make something happen.
Michael, I'll definitely give you this. It's different, that's for sure. And what we're doing right now isn't working. So different isn't necessarily a bad thing. But that doesn't mean it's a good thing. Because when you take two people with the egos that these two people have, this has the potential, no pun intended, to go nuclear. Like, I mean...
good pun, though.
Who could not be nervous about this?
I almost feel like it's not going to happen. Is this absolutely confirmed? What date? When is this
happening? Don't have the official date yet, but Trump said it will happen before May. Kim Jong-un wants it to happen as soon as possible. So Kim Jong-un relayed the message via South Korean delegates who were at the White House, and they gave a press conference today, said in our, because the South Koreans have been talking with the North Koreans, and they said in our relaying of messages, this is what he would want. He wants to meet as soon as possible, and the Trump administration has come out and said it will happen before May. Now, obviously, I am more right-leaning, but in the speech, the South Koreans did say that the way that Trump has handled North Korea and been put a lot of pressure on them internationally, again, with NATO and with, you know, the things that they've done to North Korea to kind of stifle them is part of the reason that they want this meeting.
Do you think we should invite them to Coffee Bean for the meeting? Or?
Oh, for sure.
100%.
You think they'll say yes?
Oh,
to that?
Yeah.
Maybe throw in some tweets.
Would you want to even, if you could be a fly on the wall during this meeting, would you want to be?
100%. No. Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Michael, what are you hoping? Like, what is the best possible outcome that you feel like we could get from this?
The best possible outcome is that North Korea could stop making nuclear weapons. That we just continue doing what we're doing. I mean,
stop
we haven't...
We're not going to be a give-take situation.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is we will... Oh, so what the U.S. would do, in exchange, the U.S. would kind of pull back some of their sanctions. I think that really has hurt North Korea. But the other positive that we really hope that comes out of this, which is something that is not reported a lot, is the treatment of the people in North Korea. I mean, literally starving. There was a story like 2 months ago where some guy literally risked being shot and was shot like 15 times just to make it across the border. The people in North Korea are literally treated... I don't want to put this in a terrible light for you, Roxy, but like they're in a concentration camp. I mean, literally, you see the pictures of people who have made it out. They're
so
literally
you're saying
being
it's a, like,
starved.
Slightly worse than my heartache, or
no.
Like, on the scale where we're talking.
I'm just saying, if you go look up, it's something that's not being reported because it's just constant.
Yeah.
But the way the people of North Korea are being treated under that leadership, it's literally just disastrous. So hopefully for the people of North Korea, in addition to kind of, you know, getting rid of all the tension between us, that would definitely be the positive outcome.
We shall see. That's all I got on this one. We shall see. I'll be interested to get Kevin's take when he comes back. But if I had to guess, I think he probably would be in your camp, Michael, that he would think that this is a strong
positive move
and that at least it is a step in a direction.
Yes.
And hopefully that step would be forward. I don't know if I'm quite in that camp, but what the fuck do I know? That's why I'm not president.
We'll just have to see how it goes. But, man, to be a fly in the room, that would be amazing. Next story comes, it's a developing story. Talked about a week ago about Dick's and Walmart saying that they are now banning the sale of weapons for anyone under the age of 21. Well, a man in Oregon who is 20 is now filing a lawsuit against them, saying that it is not fair because the Oregon law technically is that you can buy a firearm at 18, and they are age discrimination.
Interesting.
Shit.
Can an individual business have their own laws within the state, though?
Well, that's what they're trying to do.
That's what they're trying to do.
Okay.
That's whatever outcome will probably dictate. I'm with Kevin on the whatever we can do to slow them down. And so I don't blame these businesses for trying to do that.
No.
And, like, it is very clear that your brain is not developed as much until you're older. When you're 18 versus 21, it's completely different, especially in men. But that being said, we have shooters of all ages. And
yep.
I don't know if this would help the problem, but it would mean less people could get guns legally. So maybe I need some stats on whether or not this even helps.
Well, my thing is, if you're 20 years old, what do you need a gun for?
Ask Michael.
Michael?
So there are various things that you would need it for, could need it for. And again, this is like an individual at 20 purchasing a gun. Obviously, any parent can buy their child a gun for hunting purposes, which
obviously,
in Oregon, outside, you're going to be hunting. At age 20, you know, and again, here's the other thing that people say. It'll go back to the argument of, like, if I'm old enough to sign up for the military and risk my life for my country, then I should be old enough to buy a firearm or drink alcohol or smoke pot or anything that I will use that argument. I would say that I'm not opposed to raising the limit to 21, but I think that it has to be
–
I think that until it actually is a state law or a national law, I think they're going to lose this lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're probably correct.
I think you're right.
And that's something we talked about the other day, too, of like Trump coming out and saying that he wants to seize it from people with who have mental handicaps or people who are not all there mentally. And we're like, yeah, let's do it. And it's like, do you realize the lawsuit-ridden society that we live in? And like, oh, I'm suing.
But what I don't understand is that when you step in most restaurants, they have that sign that says we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. How does that not apply here?
That's a question for the judge.
Because I think that they don't have the right to refuse service to anybody. I think that that's not the case in this situation.
And I think a lot of those businesses might be privately owned businesses, whereas, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods and Walmart are certainly publicly traded companies.
Yeah.
So they're a public company.
That's a good point too, Michael.
I mean, that might be interesting. But in moving on from that, Florida actually did just put a bill toward the governor's desk to raise the age from 18 to 21. And they did a couple different things in their final version of the bill, raised it from 18 to 21. It required a 3-day waiting period. But it actually did provide additional funding for armed resource officers at schools and possibly opening the door for teachers. Good, bad? Is this, you know, there's parts of both. You know, you have both sides of the aisle maybe making concessions and saying, okay, we'll allow the age to be raised, we'll extend the background checks, but we'll also look at the option for teachers or school resource officers to be armed. Step in the right direction, yes or no?
If I was a teacher, and based on the laws right now, I would want that. Because...
Really?
If I was a teacher. Because when you find out that there are people who stand outside with guns and they don't come in, how are you supposed to feel protected or like you can keep your kids safe? But at the same time, is more guns the solution? Absolutely not. So it's hard. I understand like why some people would want this would make them feel more comfortable. I think we should lower the drinking age. And then I think
people will be happier.
Yeah. No joke.
Need for guns if they're just drunk.
I think we should lower the drinking age to 18. I think we should open more Hooters. Kevin talks about our Hooters a lot. I think we should be...
Talks about the Hooters, the restaurant, a lot.
Yep.
Not talks about...
Yeah, sorry. Good
clarification there.
Good correction.
Clarification.
And I think we raise the gun age, lower the drinking age, see if it helps.
Honestly, I think it will. I'm fully for teachers having guns. I think there are so many issues
but
in
then
schools.
What if a kid gets into the thing and that there's so many other issues that could come out from it. But at the same time, if I was a teacher at this point, there's so many school shootings. How do you feel safe? How do you feel protected? How do you feel not only how do you personally feel safe, but how do you feel like you can protect your students?
Well, and I feel like that's a teacher's number one goal is they're there to protect their students. And without kind of an armed weapon, like can they? I don't know. It's I don't think there is really a full solution, but I'm for it. And I went to a college, actually, that was open carry, UT.
Really?
So, and I remember all of my teachers said, all of them, and even the ones who were against it were like, I feel so much more comfortable carrying a gun to class.
There is a big difference between your college professor carrying a gun and a preschool teacher having a gun in their top drawer.
That is a little more terrifying.
I hate that we live in a society where I have to say, I understand why teachers want guns in their kindergarten classes.
Yeah.
But we do. That is the reality of the situation right now. And I'm not a teacher. I've never had to be in charge of 100 students at one time. I can only imagine how helpless you feel.
Well, going on from that to another form of punishment, I don't know if you guys saw this story this week. We're going to pull up the video here. It is a dad in Virginia who found out that his son was bullying other students on the bus and did something about it. He didn't let his son ride the bus anymore. He had to run the mile to school. Here, we'll start playing the video. And you can see that this son is literally just there in a backpack. It is raining outside. The dad over the kind of video that is being played said, my son was a little bully. I found out about this, and we're not having this anymore. He's running to school for a week, 1 mile.
100%.
You can see him in the rain.
That's amazing. 100%.
This is exactly what parents should be doing. Mm-hmm. Fuck your little fucking brat kid. Are you kidding me? And he made sure his kid was safe. He followed behind him. It's not like he was like, off to school you go. It's not like it's taking him less hours as a parent now. Mm-hmm. It's taking him actually more time. But that's him doing his job, parenting. Make your little motherfucking prick kid run.
What do you think is worse to hear as a parent? That your kid is being bullied or that they are the bully?
That they're the bully. That
they are the bully.
That means you did something wrong.
Because my coworker last week was coming around telling us that her kindergartner was being threatened. Her life was being threatened by other students in kindergarten. They were plotting her murder.
Yeah, Big Little Lies really goes into this.
As a mom hearing, okay, there's kids in my daughter's kindergarten class that are saying, we want you dead, we're going to kill you. Or they could be the ones saying that. Both are awful. So I have no idea what you'd rather.
I think both are awful, but I would rather have a kid who is bullying kids because then you can take that on as a parent. Hmm. You can't really take on as a parent that your kid is being bullied.
True.
Because that's other people's parents that need to step up. But like, I'm somebody
kid.
Who likes to be able to do something. And if your kid is the problem, then you're part of the problem and there's something you can do to fix it. But if it's other people's kids who are the problem, you can give your kid as many techniques about like self-love and how to not get bullied. But if they're getting bullied, there isn't that much at the end of the day that you can really do for them. So I'd rather have my kid be a bully so that I could fucking kill him.
How were any of us punished as a child? What's like a unique way that you were punished?
See, y'all are going to hate me for this, but my mom was very anti-spanking, so she was full, sit in the corner, and I will lock you in the laundry room for an hour, and you won't move, and then you can come out. But now here I am, and now I'm like, I'm spanking my kids.
No, fuck, you and Michael should get married right now.
Roxy, how are you, is it just because the actual physical, I don't want to say abuse, but the actual physical act of spanking versus, well, abuse is a term that's excessive.
I would never, ever, ever hit a kid. I would never hit a kid. I don't get it. I don't fucking get it.
What about soap in the mouth?
Oh, I couldn't do soap.
That happened to me once.
You pro or con soap in the mouth?
I don't think I would ever do it because it's like, I didn't think it worked for me. I did the exact same thing again. If it worked, then maybe. But for me, it didn't. The one thing that ever worked on me was I was a little fat kid and I loved my sweets. And my parents... When I had a 2-junk-a-day rule because I had to not keep gaining weight. And
now, 2 junk like candy bars?
2-junk-a-day meant I could pick 2 junks that I could have every day.
Was there a quantity of the junk?
No. So, like, if I if I wanted to house all of the cookies, but I could only do it twice a day, a 2-junk-a-day rule. But no, they probably would have cut me off around, like, 4 Oreos. But anyway.
So that's 4 junk-a-day.
They would take away. First, you take away one of the junk-a-days. And then you take away the other. And if I couldn't have my junk food, then I... Fuck my life. It was the only thing I was looking forward to. So, like, if I did X, Y, or Z, like, I didn't do my chores, you take away a junk, I'm doing my chores. So it depends on your kid. What matters to your kid? I could never, ever hit a kid. I don't even know if it works. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a parent. I don't know. But for me personally, I could never lay my hand on a child. I would never sleep again.
My mom used to kind of whack me all the time.
Me too, Jules. Me too.
And one time, I think, I don't even remember exactly the situation, but I'm sure I had a mouth on me. And I disrespected my grandmother a little. She hit me. Not hard, like a little hit, like nothing compared to what I was used to. She left my room, came back maybe 20 minutes later, opened the door, and was crying. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? I had, like, mind
Round
you,
two.
I kind of even had forgotten. I'm like, what happened? And she was like, I'm sorry I hit you. Like, you shouldn't have done what you did, but I should have never hit you. And I was like, I always remember that. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the last time I'm ever, ever disrespecting her.
Because you felt bad that she cried after she hit you? That's a little opposite.
You didn't stop because she hit you. You stopped because of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like whenever I would get spanked, or, you know, anyone, I'm sure, when they got spanked, a child, with the parent would be like, this is hurting me more than it's hurting you. And you're like, really?
Lies.
Really?
No. To me, it's fucked up. I just think it's fucked up. Find ways to communicate to your child that they need to be better without hitting them. That's just how I feel.
And I think it's by saying, like, you're disappointing me, the fact that you're actually affecting them versus violence.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
For me personally, but again, I don't know shit because I don't have kids. So, like, I can't pretend to say this does work, this doesn't work, you can and you can't. I just know I'll never be able to hit a kid. And as a kid who got hit, like, fuck that. It did not work. And I went the exact opposite direction. So, like, no. For me, I don't think that it's the move.
Do you hold anything against your parents later on in life, that was how they disciplined you growing up?
It's a very, very challenging situation for me specifically, and we can get into this another show, but my mom had a massive brain tumor, so, like, I can't hold anything against her, really, because there was something growing in her brain for 20 years. And my dad was a saint, so... And my mom was a saint, too, except when she wasn't. So, like, I can't really hold anything against anybody. I just know that, like, never, ever, ever did something happen where I got hit and then I was like, okay, now I won't do that. Never, ever, ever did it work at any point.
Did it work with your siblings?
You'd have to ask them. I don't think my siblings had the same situation I had.
Okay.
Interesting. Well, we can all debate on how we would want to punish our kids, but if you would like to reward your child... Any parent now has a new way of doing that. Barbie coming out with 17 different new dolls that are being made. And they're being made on International Women's Day. They announced that they
are
actually various women who are big in pop culture, who are good role models, people who are maybe even famous women in the past. A couple of them that you might know of, snowboarding champion Chloe Kim.
Interesting.
We have Patty Jenkins on there, Roxy.
Love her. Wonder Woman
like
direct doll.
Yep. Gymnastics champion Gabby Douglas, one of the lead physicists and mathematicians who was in Hidden Figures, Amelia Earhart. So certainly kind of a new way, which I think a lot of girls, I mean, obviously I can't speak for them, but a new way to kind of look up to these role models in your life.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Less risky with the role models that are dead because they can't blow it now.
Ooh, interesting, Roxy.
I just always get nervous when you have these young role models who, like, are starting their stardom and being like, look, girls, look up to them. And it's like, shit. Like, what happens when they don't follow through? Or what happens when they do something? Like, if somebody's dead, we know. The story's written. Although, I guess Columbus died and we thought he was a good dude and then all that shit came out. So, maybe not.
Should I know what happened with Columbus?
Christopher Columbus?
Uh-oh.
That, am I missing a big part?
Let's not tell her. Okay.
Yeah, we only got like 10 minutes of the show left.
Okay. Google after the show. Hit it up.
I feel like I'm missing out. Who's my history teacher?
You're not missing. Our childhoods taught us that he was a good dude.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're wrong.
I thought he was a saint. Yeah.
Nope, totally not.
You got a day,
a
but
dude.
Not the right reason.
Yeah. No. Anyway, Michael, what else you got?
Well, the creator of Barbie is obviously getting very rich, I'm sure, off this. But I don't know if they're going to get rich enough to make it on the Forbes list of the richest people in the world.
Probably not.
Just came out. And it's a staggering number. Here's the thing. How many billionaires do you think there are in the world now?
Not that many.
What's your guess?
How many?
1,000. Oh my God! There's so
kidding?
Many more.
I was gonna guess a lot less than that.
Oh, 1,000.
I actually thought that was a pretty good guess, but I would maybe 800.
That's where I was standing too.
We have a world record: 2,208 billionaires made the 32nd annual ranking by Forbes. Now, altogether, they are worth $9.1 trillion.
Same dough.
Which, I mean, if you actually add that up, that's half of the debt that the U.S. is in, which is also a staggering amount. But that is up 18% from a year ago. The 20 richest people worth a staggering $1.2 trillion. Number one on the list is Amazon's founder and CEO, Jeff Bezos, who for the first time is worth over $100 million, like $112 million.
And I think you mean billion?
A billion. Sorry. Yeah, very true. Yeah, $112 billion. He's the first one to ever top the list, having a net worth of over $100 billion. Bill Gates, number
what
two.
What do you even do?
Right?
Yeah, right?
Does he have a son?
Like, you just, at that point, if you've got to just be charitable because it's like,
you have everything material-wise possibly you could ever want.
Yeah, that's like all you can, I mean.
But I feel like. Do you get joy? You know, like, whenever we get a sum of money, we're like, oh, this is so fun. I can splurge. At that point, it's probably, like,
no,
miserable.
My dad is not wealthy like that. My dad is very well off. And something he told me from day one is a dollar for me is the same thing as a dollar for a poor person. Hmm. A dollar is a dollar is a dollar. And I work hard for every single one.
Yeah.
So I don't know because my dad is not a billionaire. By any means, he's certainly a millionaire. So he's well off to the point that I think that he understands what it's like to not have worries. Sometimes he does, but a lot of times he doesn't. And he works his butt off because you always want more. And I would have to think at the next level above that, you'd always want more, like Kevin Maria. It's not like they're just sitting back and they're like, all right, screw it now. You always have to work, and there's always a chance you could lose everything. And the more money you have, the more pressure that's on you to keep making money so you can keep supplying jobs for other people. Because how many people are you employing? I mean, Bezos is probably employing hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fucking pressure. And I think probably every dollar to him is the same thing as a dollar it is to me.
Well, I think twofold. I think definitely what you said is the value of a dollar is so important. And knowing that no matter how much you're worth. But it reminds me of something that I heard from Tony Robbins, where he said a lot of people want to get rich and then retire. And, you know, like, oh, I want to be retired at this. I want to be retired at this. He's like, I did that at 28. And then I was, like, bored for 3 months. And I realized I had to do something else. And he said a lot of these people at the top of the list. I mean, Warren Buffett, who's, what, 80 years old? In his 80s, he's working harder now than what he worked to make his funds. And they said the reason is because you work hard enough to retire, but then you work harder at something you're passionate about. And that
and actually, like, usually you end up making more money then.
Exactly.
Which is fucked up. Which is fucked up. I think that they probably care about every single cent in their bank account, if I had to guess. But I don't know, because I've got about five in my bank account.
Feel you, girl. Feel you.
Dollars. That's dollars, not millions.
I mean, you're just living it up in Tulum, so cost money.
Fuck.
You have all
that
the memories.
That bottomed me out. And I'm going on another bachelorette party in 1 month.
When do you see this ending? Because this is like number 8 or 9.
I know. Hoping that my friends start getting divorced, and no, I'm just
you
kidding.
Hope that?
I'm just
feel
kidding.
Like
I would never hope that,
Roxy.
Because I'd never do it again. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
When
I
you
just
have divorce parties.
Yeah, but with the weddings, it's like there's no end in sight because there's their engagement party, and then their bridal shower, and then their bachelorette, and then there's their wedding, and then there's their 1 year anniversary party, and there's a 5 year anniversary party,
and they
have a 10 year. They've got a kid. You got to go to the baby shower.
The
you got to send
parties.
Gifts for that. Probably got to fly in. Then when the kid is born, got to be there for that. Like, just like, I don't know, maybe stay single.
This is making me want to ditch all of my friends. Like, bye, I only want two.
Yeah.
We can only think about the thing in front of us, and right now that is Thursday night, and we can go drink after the show.
After? Whoa, whoa. I got my mug right here.
It's coffee, Rox. Make sure you don't
blowing
don't
on
burn
it.
Yourself.
This one's for you, Kev. Yeah. And be safe. If you're going to be a degenerate alcoholic, don't drive. I really mean that.
What'd you say at the beginning of the show?
Sell
Uber
your car.
Everywhere.
Sell your fucking car.
And
Uber.
Just Uber.
Just Uber. And if, all right, I made fun of pool, but if that's all you can afford, then get in that goddamn Uber pool. Check Lyft, too. Compare
Lyft
prices.
Honestly, Lyft is so much cheaper.
Look
I don't know if anyone has realized that.
Always.
Save your money.
Save your goddamn money. No, they did not pay us for that message. So I don't know if that's true. Uber, if you want to sponsor us still, we'll say you're cheaper. What? Magan, where can the people find you?
You can find me at Twitter under...
Yep.
Wow.
At Twitter, for sure.
I changed my handle to at Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Morgan_Willette. You want to get fancy? Instagram at Morgan Lee Willette.
You got to get those the same.
There's a 12-year-old female on Instagram, Morgan_Willette on Instagram, and I have messaged her maybe 20 times. Hey, will you change your handle?
Those 12-year-olds are such bitches.
They are relentless.
Make her run to school in the rain. Michael Klaus at The Only MC. At Bonjour, Juliet. Where can they find you, babe?
Thank you guys for having me on. Thanks to all the Challenge fans. So happy we got to sit down and talk with Joss. My name is Jenna. You can find me on Twitter at Jenna_Bussier.
And of course, he never plugs himself, but at _Undergaro. Just my personal shout out to him. You fucking have done everything for me. And thank you. I'll text that to you after. Even Maria texting me right now, checking in on me every second. I love you guys. And I love you guys at home. Thank you for being in the chat with us live. Or if you're after the fact, go to iTunes, rate, comment, subscribe. Leave us a message. We love seeing what you have to say. Leave us a message. It sounds like it's a phone call. I mean, with the text and the, don't call us. Our phone lines don't work very well. A comment.
There you go.
I'm at Roxy Stryer. We're at The Tomorrow Show. Until next time, make it a better tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.